The following program requires parental discretion. Abortion is a ruthless killer of babies. It endangers the lives and well-being of millions of women each year. And one of the most horrific procedures is chemical abortion.
Overall in this country, about a third to maybe a little under a half of early abortions are chemical abortions.
The abortion industry sells it as natural, easy, and painless. It is none of those, and women are speaking out.
Chemical abortion, it's not the answer.
The mantra out there is, oh, pop a pill and poof, it's over. Well, it's not over.
No one counseled me. No one told me what the options were.
Their goal is to make abortion something that women do to themselves so that the abortionist doesn't have any liability.
This was a formed, recognizable, undeniable baby, my baby.
Thankfully, though, healing is possible.
No sin is too great, no shame is too dark, and no lie is too deep. None of it is out of the reach of God.
You'll become better informed about chemical abortion and how to address it in this Sanctity of Life radio special, Breaking the Silence from Generation to Generation. Your host is the president of Life Issues Institute, Brad Mattis.
Today you'll hear the gripping stories of two women whose lives were thrown into heartbreak and pain as a result of chemical abortions. Plus, you'll meet a medical doctor who will help you understand what the process actually entails and its terrible risks. You'll see why we must push back against an industry that's dead set on promoting it. Someone you know may one day consider a chemical abortion. You want to be armed with answers to their questions. We'll give you those today. Stay with us. Shortly after graduating from college, Oregon native Elizabeth Gillette and her boyfriend found out they were pregnant. While afraid she couldn't juggle working and being a mom so soon after graduating, she wasn't convinced abortion was the answer. Her boyfriend offered no support and pushed her to make an appointment at Planned Parenthood. Even though she was conflicted, the staff coerced her into proceeding with a chemical abortion.
I asked to see the ultrasound, and the doctor said, that's really not our policy. And I said, I need to see the ultrasound. I need to see it. I had told her at the beginning, I'm very unsure. And I know how those machines work. She took a still shot of the monitor and then rolled the monitor around so that I could see it, and it was just a photo. It was not moving, even though the wand was moving. And she said, do you see? There's no movement, there's no heartbeat. Your pregnancy's not viable. And she lied to me because she knew that I was on the fence, that she knew I wanted to leave. And she had one of those little tiny Dixie styrofoam cup things with the pill in it. And she said, all you have to do is take this. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't take it out of her hand. And she said, you know, I just can't wait any longer, so you need to take this or you need to leave. No one counseled me. No one told me what the options were. Nobody pointed me to any kind of pregnancy resource centers or anything. At this point, I'd probably been crying, waiting, trying to drag this out for probably 45 minutes, just with that internal turmoil, that battle. And I lost to myself. I did take the pill. She said, you'll experience some light cramping. It'll be like a heavy period since you're early enough. It shouldn't hurt. You need to take these antibiotics in case the very slight chance of infection. I had to take a second pill once I got home. I had no idea what was coming. No idea.
Take us through the chemical abortion process. What did you experience?
At first, nothing. And then the cramping started. And it was deep and very, very painful. I've had three children since then, and it felt like labor. I miscarried my entire child. Whole. Was the size of a tennis ball, probably. Round. Just a perfect little sack. And inside was this tiny little gummy bear. And I held him.
It's a hard memory to live with, isn't it? Did they tell you about the emotional, the psychological ramifications?
No. The doctor had promised me that I would feel relieved. I didn't feel any relief.
What did you feel?
Overwhelming guilt. Just a sickness inside that I couldn't put away. Nightmares started shortly after. I stopped eating. I became anorexic. I was later diagnosed with acute post-traumatic stress disorder.
Similar to surgical abortion, there are associated risks of psychological ramifications, but on a potentially more serious level with chemical abortion. Dr. Donna Harrison has found many women are unaware and ill-prepared for the emotional consequences of chemical abortion.
With an abortion, you get no social support. So these women grieve the loss of their child, and they have no social support for it. And that ends up as a complicated grief, and that's why you have these, you know, increased risk of suicide, substance abuse, and hospitalizable major depression. Overall in this country, about a third to maybe a little under a half of early abortions are chemical abortions.
That many?
Yeah, that many. And it's seen as the answer to the abortion industry's biggest problem, which is doctors won't do abortions. 85% of OB-GYNs do not do abortions. And that's not because we don't know how. That's because OB-GYNs know that they're caring for two patients, and they don't want to kill their patient.
Dr. Harrison, the women we spoke to while at the abortion facility were told by the staff that chemical abortion is natural, easy, and almost painless. What do you have to say about that?
Well, that's a lie. It's none of those. It's not natural for a woman's body to have progesterone blocked in the pregnancy. It's completely unnatural. Bleeding from a surgical abortion lasts a day. The bleeding from a chemical abortion can last weeks to months. It's a lot more painful because the woman is physically passing the baby and placenta, like labor. And in a surgical abortion, she's hopefully under anesthesia. The mantra out there is, oh, pop a pill and poof, it's over. Well, it's not over. It's aborting with Mifeprex and Misoprostol is a tough process. And these women are on their own to do it. It's almost patient abandonment.
This is Breaking the Silence, a Sanctity of Life radio special with host Brad Mattis.
Donna Harrison is the executive director of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. She is well-versed in the process of chemical abortion, a two-drug protocol with the first pill taken at the abortion facility and the second taken by the woman all on her own, as well as the possible serious risks and complications.
The first drug is mifepristone, which is called Mifeprex. And that first drug is taken and it blocks the effects of progesterone in a woman's body. It blocks the ability of her womb to feed and nourish the baby. A second drug is given later, and that drug is Misoprostol. It's also called Cytotec. And that drug causes the woman's womb to contract and squeeze the baby out.
Dr. Harrison, studies have shown that chemical abortion can be more risky for women than surgical abortion. What do you know about the science and the risks involved?
One of the best studies was done out of Finland. In that study, they looked at 42,000 abortion patients. About half of them were chemical abortion, about half of them were surgical abortion. And what they found is that the chemical abortion patients had four times the complication rate that the surgical abortion patients had. Hemorrhage, retained tissue. So this was just the immediate complications, not even taking into account the long-term complications.
What other complications have you been aware of regarding this pill?
Well, one of the most serious complications is a deadly infection called an infection with Clostridium sordellii. That's the infection that led to the death of the beautiful California girl, 18-year-old Holly Patterson. Clostridium sordellii is actually in the soil. So we are exposed to that, but when your immune system is suppressed, as it is with both Mifeprex and with Misoprostol, then women can't fight off that infection, and it can lead to a rapidly fatal infection.
In 1995, Tammy Morris was engaged and looking forward to the next chapter of her life when she discovered she was pregnant. She was already the mother of a young daughter whom she'd given birth to as a teenager and had experienced a surgical abortion years earlier. A lifetime of brokenness, poverty, abuse, and addiction led Tammy to believe she would ruin her upcoming marriage if they started out pregnant. Tammy was convinced a chemical abortion was the only solution.
When I met with the nurse and the doctor, they told me that the abortion pill was going to be a simple, mostly painless, private, safe process. It wasn't very long after I took that pill that I began to experience labor. And it didn't take long at all for those labor pains to intensify because I had already given birth to a child, my daughter. I knew what labor felt like and I was shocked. I thought that I would cramp like I had with my surgical abortion, but that it would be over relatively quickly. This was not that. This was horrific. This was me alone, afraid, and feeling like I'm gonna give birth to death. They didn't prepare me for this. They told me that some tissue would be expelled from me, much like clots. And the urge to push was there, and I felt a mass, and then I heard a sound. Horrified, I looked down, and there was my baby.
How did you feel?
Devastated. This wasn't uterine tissue. This was a formed, recognizable, undeniable baby. My baby. My fiance's baby. I began to bleed profusely, more than the allowed or normal amount. And I did seek medical attention.
What were the weeks like after that?
I was angry. I was ashamed. I was very hard to be around because I had this secret. I had this traumatic experience that I couldn't share with anybody. And after all, how does a mother who killed her own child in the womb intentionally, how does she grieve outwardly?
You're listening to Breaking the Silence from Generation to Generation with your host, Life Issues President, Brad Mattis. And again, please exercise parental discretion.
Between the ages of 17 and 32, Tammy Morris experienced 8 abortions. Trying to ease the pain, she struggled for years with addiction and anger. By 2012, Tammy was running a nonprofit ministry for homeless mothers and children, a cause very dear to her heart. She was asked to speak at a local church, but they didn't want to hear her normal ministry pitch. They wanted to hear about the real Tammy, a prospect that threatened to penetrate the emotional walls Tammy had built around herself.
I had my speaking notes and I did my research on the church so that I could understand the audience. And I stood up at that podium and I began to tell my story of what was done to me and the brokenness and trauma it caused, and then later what I would come to do to myself as a result of being unhealed. And as if someone was speaking in my ear, probably God, I heard, "Tell them about your babies." And so I did. And it was in that moment that I realized that I was broken and that the love of God hadn't penetrated that very deep wound within me. Because after all, how can I grieve when I'm the one who killed him? And God in his wisdom over the next year or so began to bring pro-life people and pregnancy center leaders because of my work with this nonprofit ministry. I began to interface with them. It was a combination of so many things, and yet all of them were absolutely necessary in weaving together my healing journey, or at least the start of it. But I found hope and healing in talking, in speaking them out, and acknowledging that, yes, I made this decision. 8 times. But I made one decision that redeemed it all. And healing isn't an event, it's a journey.
Years after her chemical abortion experience, Elizabeth Gillette sought counseling for the emotional trauma she was experiencing. Shortly afterward, she again became pregnant. With the baby's father uninvolved, Elizabeth was facing the same fears she experienced before her chemical abortion. But this time, Elizabeth knew she had to protect her baby and felt compelled to share her decision and story on social media.
I made a video, and I told the world, I'm pregnant again, and I'm going to keep my baby, and you can too. And within 3 days, I had over 700,000 views. Hiding in the silence is just your own personal death sentence. But when you stand up and say, enough is enough, this hurt me, and it's hurting women everywhere, it just kind of set me free. Now I'm in a good place. I decided to not let this one choice define me. I've been forgiven.
Tell me about your life now, Elizabeth. What's it like?
So beautiful. I have 3 little kids and a wonderful husband, and life is everything I ever wanted it to be, but I'm missing one.
Over the last few years, the prevalence and number of chemical abortions has continued to rise. Pro-abortion advocates are ignoring the dangers of chemical abortion and pushing for the abortion pill to become more widely available, including through online sales and telemedicine, which Dr. Harrison explains. The increased availability likely comes with a rise in the number of women who will suffer from serious physical and emotional complications.
I think it's really ironic that abortion advocates say they're for women and they use the coat hanger, and yet now they're pushing a chemical coat hanger on women. They're pushing a self-administration of abortion so that they're not liable, and so that there's no way to regulate. That's their goal, is to make abortion something that women do to themselves so that the abortionist doesn't have any liability.
The statistics that are available state by state show an increased number of abortions by chemical abortion.
Right.
Even though the overall number of abortions are dropping in that state.
That's right.
Why do you think that is?
Well, part of it is the push for telemedicine, where a woman stands in front of a TV screen and a doctor interviews her without doing a physical exam, pushes a button, and a drawer opens and there's her abortion. It's almost as bad as the abortions by mail. It's easier to distribute. But when you have this drug being given without any medical supervision, I feel for the women who are going to be bleeding at night with no one around, no pain meds, no way to get to the ER. And what's even worse is what's going on overseas. What we have is a push for chemical abortion in areas where women don't even have emergency care.
Tammy Morris is now working as the executive director of a local nonprofit organization. Her marriage has been restored, and she's the mother of 3 living children and 2 grandchildren. She continues to share her personal testimony in the hope women will choose life for their babies and not experience the trauma and pain of abortion. Tammy and Elizabeth are firm believers chemical abortion is not the answer, and that women are strong enough to choose life for their babies.
You are strong enough. You can do it. There is not a single woman on this planet that is not strong enough to be a mom or a mom again. Our society is just breeding fear. We tell our women to go out there and get a job and be everything that you can be except be a mom. And that's a lie. I have yet to meet a woman that doesn't regret her abortion. And it's a regret that you can't reconcile. It's forever.
Chemical abortion, it's just savage. It's not the answer.
What is the answer?
Choosing life. Choosing life. Your life. Their life. If I had it to do all over again, I wouldn't have allowed a temporary situation that caused fear and uncertainty, meaning an unplanned pregnancy,
to control my choice.
What would you say, Tammy, to a woman contemplating having a chemical abortion?
To seek out people that will help her choose life and walk through that. Choosing life, I'm not saying choosing life is easy, but there are resources, there are people who care, there are people who will walk with her. She's not alone. They're gonna show you how to walk through pregnancy and birthing and raising your precious, precious gift from God. No pit is too deep, no sin is too great, no shame is too dark, and no lie is too deep. None of it is out of the reach of God.
A closer look at the chemical abortion pill shows the process isn't as natural or safe as advocates say. Use this newfound knowledge to share with women who may be contemplating an abortion. Full disclosure empowers them to make choices that both they and their babies can live with.
You're listening to Breaking the Silence from Generation to Generation, a Sanctity of Life radio special. And Brad Mattis, your discussions on the subject of chemical abortion took you even further than we have time to cover today.
That's right, Bill, and we'll let listeners know how to get hold of that material before we leave today. But I was especially moved in my sit-down with Heartbeat International client consultant Becky Johnson. She's on the front line counseling women and men in the aftermath of abortion. In fact, we have an excerpt of that interview. I asked Becky why after-abortion counseling is so important in the healing process.
There's so much post-abortion issues that many women deal with for years, even into grandparenting age. There's anger, there's hurt, there's a lot of regret, sleeplessness, sometimes self-abuse. They're so hurt and wounded, and they don't sometimes realize that it's related to their abortion. And it's so imperative for them to realize they're not alone, and that people care, and that there's a God that heals. And I just love the programs that we offer. The Bible study, Surrendering the Secrets, allows them to come in and meet with other women that are hurting and share their stories. And through the 8-week powerful program, I believe many of them find great healing and hope.
I suppose you've seen a change in the women inside. Do you see any outward evidence of their healing?
Tremendous. There's a more sense of confidence in many of them. They tend to be able to set goals. I see them having dreams and recognizing that they can dream and they can accomplish things. That's so rewarding to see them wanting to achieve something and not feeling that life is just what they've been served.
One of Becky's counseling clients was Tasha Johnson, who would later become Becky's daughter-in-law. I had the opportunity to speak with her, and she too talked about the role faith played in her recovery.
I think the Lord used Heartbeats, and the Lord used the Bible study, but ultimately, the more that I learned about Jesus Christ, that's what brought true healing to me. And just knowing that I need a Savior, and praise the Lord, He is good to heal your wounds, and nothing is too big for Him or too great. And even abortion doesn't separate you. I hope that I can show my children the love of Christ and raise them to be strong in who they are and what they stand for. And at some point when I share my testimony with them, that they will stand beside me, excited at what the Lord has done, and just see that this is a big deal. I hope that they stand for those women, and that they can just be a voice for those babies that aren't born.
And there was much more from those interviews, but we're out of time. At lifeissues.org, we'll share three ways to further equip you in saving lives from chemical abortions. Click on the Breaking the Silence banner to learn more about additional insights from our guests available in a special podcast. Also, the TV version of these interviews on a free DVD. And finally, a care sheet containing the relevant resources and guidance you need to help someone considering a chemical abortion, all when you visit lifeissues.org. Well, Brad, what are your closing thoughts today?
We hope you have a better understanding of what chemical abortion is and how it takes the life of a precious baby while causing deep and lasting harm to moms who go through it. But the message of hope you also heard today shows that healing is possible and available through solid biblical counsel and through the forgiveness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. As our guests reminded you, there is no pit too deep, no sin too great to be out of the reach of God.
Thanks, Brad. And friend, thanks again for listening to this Life Issues radio special, Breaking the Silence from Generation to Generation.